A group of people sit around a table theorizing, categorizing, and telling stories. Their real purpose is never quite clear, but they continue on searching for the monstrous. Hello and welcome on the Wooden Path. This is Jan, your host, on his journey to discover bold and new theatre. Even though I dreamt myself as being an actor since 1996, the very first time I was on a film set was in 2015. I was an extra on the very first film of a trilogy, a story about people in a video game, the most popular French web series, as it turns out, testing the waters on a big screen. During a break between takes on the day I was there, one of the other extras asked me to sign an autograph as Lord Varys, which I did. It also happened between takes on the Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion's Con Man project I was on later the same year. I even performed a scene as Varys, retelling how he got his balls removed during an acting training workshop in Glasgow in 2016. So, essentially, the play I'm going to talk about now, I came to it because I wanted to see how Conleth Hill, who is the actor who plays Varys in Game of Thrones, for those of you in the back who are confused by what I am rambling about, I wanted to see how he worked on the stage. I also wanted to make a short video at the stage door to prove once and for all that it's possible to see us both in the same room at the same time. But if you've listened to this show before, you know that when I plan something from the stage door, it invariably goes wrong, and Conleth Hill does not look like Varys anymore, so I did not go to the stage door. The rumor stays alive. I'll just need to be cast in a play he is in at some point, and then we can do that banter video between work sessions, I don't know. In any case, I came to the Antipodes via the Celeb Factor, if you will, and because I wanted that video. So I'll start with two very neat things about this play, one of which is not happening that much anymore. There is a very smart illusion in the first few seconds of the play. The way it plays out is also a brilliant way to immediately stop any audience chatter, and there is no voice amplification that I could hear. It's rare enough to be pointed out. It's my second time in the Dorfman Theatre. I came for Anna earlier this year. That's episode 33 of season 1, if you want to have a go. And the stage was quite different. We were in a thrust stage configuration. I was seated in a pit, G7, along the main table, which was on stage, facing Conleth Hill the whole time. The staging is not necessarily done for a thrust setup because I missed most of the things with regards to Arthur Darvill, so I'd either recommend G8 or G9 to be more central with regards to the table or be in the gallery upstairs in the same kind of area, facing the main guy directly. Being in the gallery will also be cheaper, I guess. I paid £66 for that seat, and I am a friend of National Theatre, so I could book as soon as the ticket sales opened. Probably cheaper in the gallery, and it will allow you to go to the toilets at any point if you want, because pit people have to stay those two no-interval hours in our seats. The heart of theatre is drama, may it be comedy or tragedy. Well, it remains drama, which stems from conflict, and like every monologue, which should have you hooked from the very first line, I'm often struggling to find that moment when I'm hooked, and I can't recall any point in this play when I was hooked. And I didn't see that much drama. The closest to me being hooked probably is when the story is finally found and delivered by this one guy in the group towards the end. It was a good story. The kind I loved so much when I spent more than 6 hours right in front of Stephen Fry as he was sharing his mythos trilogy with the world on the Edinburgh stage during this year's festival. Good accent work. I didn't notice any inconsistencies. In terms of what it's about, I read the blurb before the intro, but we have a focus group. That's what I know. I've seen. We have a focus group, people seated around a big glass table. They are searching for a story to tell, telling themselves past stories, looking for something new, I guess. Lots of laughs from the audience at the beginning, not sure why. I wondered if it was references I was missing or cultural... The whole point of this show is to come share my thoughts on things right after I've seen the plays, right? This podcast. And it may take a day or two sometimes when I'm confused, but it's counterproductive to read the play text or watch interviews to be able to answer Alessandro Manzoni questions. So I'll remind you what those are in case you've missed it the first time. It strips down the whole review to what, as an audience member, you really want to know, while making it fair to the productions. A way to lower one's own biases, willingness to share rants, and sycophantic praises. What were the theater makers trying to do? How well did they do it? And was it worth it? Now, it sounds all very academic, and I'm not considering these questions in all episodes of this podcast. I get back to them when I'm confused. And I must say that it does not help here, because I have no idea is my answer to all of them. Now, I was not bored at any point during this. I did not think, did I close the padlock properly on that cage thing under my bed in the hostel? I was invested, I was in it the whole way through, and I have no idea why. I guess I can say that it was worth it, and it is staying with me long after I've left the theater, so it's good. See, that's why I don't give stars or rating on this show. It's for cases like this. I guess it's an allegory about something. I don't know. There are some familiar things in this, like when they talk about the different types of stories. I've been sitting on that Seven Plots book forever now. Some surreal elements, some real subtext and fun interactions, but again, I don't know. Well, in any case, as soon as I got out of the building, still wondering if that stage door was a good idea or not, I noticed two gentlemen with a tripod, a light source, a phone even, all of that pointed at their faces. Faces which were quite familiar, actually. Nathan and Simon from the Breckeleggers. I watched a few of their episodes in the past. Now, they were recording their episode on that play. So I nonchalantly stayed around to say hello when they were finished. And we had a quick chat. Sounds like they struggled to make sense of that play as well. Well, I'll watch their episode when it's available to get their insights, as well as a video called Why We Hate Bad Theatre Etiquette Rant, which I'm going to watch just after recording this. I can see they interviewed a director on their channel, which is quite cool, and will allow me to preach for my own church now. Well, that's a direct translation from how you would say shameless plug in French. I don't know if there's an expression in English, but before I started this theatre podcast earlier this year, I've been podcasting for more than 2 years with fellow actors and former drama school classmates Adam and Anouk. This older show is called The Good, The Bad, and the Just Plain Standard, and we talk about movies. How is it relevant, I hear you ask? Very good question. We're obviously theatre fanatics as well, and some of our episodes focused on stage work, even with guests involved in said productions from time to time. I'll put all links in the description, obviously, but essentially we talked about Bin Laden, the one-man show, with the minds behind that production, Sam Redway and Terrell Jones. We bring actor friends from our Edinburgh Festival Fringe yearly episodes. We did a special episode on Network, where surprises. I've seen that Nathan and Simon also talked about our episode. And we also have bad etiquette rants, on cinemas, rather, not the theatre just yet. But we talked about this story one time that stemmed from an article I had read of someone in the front row that jumped into the stage to plug his phone on one of the fake plugs on the set, which was interesting. But yeah, no, the antipodes are... So it was a Dorfman Theatre, which is the smallest they have at the National Theatre. So you've got, obviously, the Olivier, which I still need to go see stuff in there. I haven't, but I think I'm going to see translations in there later this year. I went, obviously, Littleton a few times, had dinner on stage for Network, and Dorfman. It was just a smaller one, which is you have to have access to it from the side. And, yeah, you can get the playtext, you can get the program. It's the color they chose for the program and the playtext is that's a gray, And that's the sentiment, actually, I have after watching this. I'm grayed out. I have no idea what to think. I have no idea what to make of it, honestly. Again, I won't give any stars because that's not what I do here. And this is not a review show. I just share my thoughts on things. But yeah, The Antipodes, I mean, mixed bag, really. I cannot say I'm disappointed. I cannot say I'm happy. It's completely baffling how confused I am, actually. There were some, yeah, again, some funny moments that I got as it was evolving. Because at the beginning, it's just like, is there something funny? Or is it? I don't know. But at some point, it started to come. But yeah, again, I was never hooked for some reason. So, yeah, really mixed bag. I'm curious to listen to what the Breckaleggers have to say on that. There are a few I've watched in their back catalogue, some episodes that I also did on, for instance, Betrayal, which is now the most successful on my podcast, more than 200, which is quite baffling because but as I said in the episode at the time, looking at the number of people at the stage door, it's not surprising. I don't do stage door, but the ones that one time I tried, it was just completely crazy. The Tom Hiddleston effect, I guess. But in any case, thanks for listening. I don't know if you got anything from this. Let me give you the dates, probably. That might help. I think it's very short at the Dorfman Theatre. It's always very short. 1 hour and 55 minutes in length. You're not allowed to leave yet. There's no interval. It started at the end of October. And you have the dates in there. There's always a lot of stuff totally unrelated in their programs. I don't know how long it lasts. For a while, but I think a month or two or something, so you might not be able to see it. I think you can miss this one. But no, it was also nice to see Arthur Darvill, who always obviously be Rory Pond. Well, Rory Williams, my favorite person in the world's boyfriend. I do like ginger women, and obviously Karen Gillan is about, well, that's not the subject of the... Anyway, yeah, The Antipodes, written by Annie Baker, who got a Pulitzer Prize for a previous work, The Flick. I don't know, at the back of the book, you've got the testimonials, right, from New York Times. One of the freshest voices in American theater. Intensely vivid and hypnotizing. A paradoxical, puzzling, compelling, hypnotic work. Right, well, obviously, the freshest voice is based on her whole body of work, I guess. But this is, I don't know. I cannot really recommend this because I said that multiple times, maybe on the film podcast we have or this one, I guess, that I'm going to see all... These are obviously plays that are being performed in English. So whatever happens, I'll get some stuff out of it because English is not my mother tongue. But that's a bit short as a added value. But it stays with me, which is always what we want when we're going to see something. But I don't know if it stays in a right way or. But yeah, so well, yeah. It's again, it's not a review. It's not a critic. It's just my thoughts and me trying to make sense out of, even though I didn't reflect that much on it. Yeah, but, stories. I went to this, so I said that a few times already, but I said £66. I'm paying for all this, so I'm essentially choosing to go stuff. So sometimes it happens that, that wasn't a good idea to pick that. I don't know about this one. Again, it's so confusing that I have no idea. The image on the book and the poster, there's kind of a weird person with on the playtext anyway, with six horse legs and yeah, and Well, I don't know if you got anything out of that. If you did, I'm glad. If you didn't, well, you heard some stuff about my life also. But anyway, I'll see you around later. Bye-bye.
Oh, hey, a quick update. So I've been sitting on this episode for a while to avoid releasing everything at the same time as I used to do. So actually, the Bricklayers just released their episodes. It's funny because there are some stuff that are crossing over, I think, with mine. But yeah, so I invite you to go see. It's called The Antipodes Review, National Theatre, Dorfman, London, Annie Baker, Conleth Hill. Well, yeah, in my episode I said The Antipodes, but that's, well, we say antipode in French, so Antipodes, Achilles, Achille, yeah, you see. So, yeah, it's a very cool episode. I enjoyed that a lot. Bye-bye.
Actually, if you're just a man and his dog, well, woof woof, and thanks, mate.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. Et bim, voilà, plot twist. You thought you were done with me? Not quite, not quite. A quick word to remind you that you can always visit onthewoodenpath.com and comment to your heart's content, as well as subscribe on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. It does make a difference and it is greatly appreciated. If you also feel a sudden urge to leave a review, you are more than welcome to do so. On the Wooden Path is the name. You'll find it in most places. And if social media is important to you at all, go for it. Links are made to be shared, aren't they? Also, if you want to be included in the interactive Stage Door episode, which concludes each season, because you are a fan of this podcast or you are involved in any of these shows and want to join the fun, leave your voice message on go.otwp.uk/ leave a message. In case my beautiful French accent made it that you didn't get that, the link is in every episode's notes. Hugs and kisses.